Welcome to GLHF, the world's first podcast in video games, where finally, after all this time, I have become a wizard. My wildest dream has finally come true.
Hit me with it. Hit me with a fireball.
Oh, yep. Hang on.
Yep, I've
just
do
done
it,
the tutorial, so I know exactly how to do this. Fireball.
Whoa. Where the hell did I even end up going?
Guys,
we totally blew up.
Mage Arena. I have played it for a total of about 10 minutes now, and I'm in love. I'm obsessed. You have to connect your mic to it and actually say the spells. I had no idea. I had only seen screenshots. You know me. I go into a game on screenshots alone. But it's really funny and impossible to explain without doing it yourself how entertaining it is to say the spell, and then it happens.
I have got a question. Is because I don't have a microphone, so I can't participate.
Yeah.
Is there a healing spell? Because you've made my whole screen red and it's getting dark.
Yeah, I'm seeing you're at about half health. I wasn't sure if I'd be able to hurt you because we're technically on the same team. So, the answer is no, yeah. I have no healing spells, but you did say that giant over there has soup. Would that help you?
That might help me. That's true. I'm going to go check that out because did it get really dark for you as well?
Yes, I think it's becoming night. But I can, pull my torch out.
Yeah, that'll help. Well, we can do torches.
Does the soup help you?
I didn't do anything, but I'm slowly regaining health, so it's
okay.
Fine.
Yeah.
Are there other spells, or is it just fireball?
Oh, there's more. Hang on.
Tons. Blast it the other direction, though, because it was a lot for me.
Freeze!
Whoa, that was
there's
quick.
A little bit of a delay, too. It's funny.
Yeah.
And then I really like this one. Worm.
Hello? Is there a worm coming?
Oh,
what was
maybe
supposed
I
to
can't.
Happen?
Oh, maybe. Listen, I can make a wormhole, but maybe I'm not allowed to do it in the base because it didn't work.
Oh, okay. All right. Maybe you can show me later.
And then I have, I'm not even going to say it. Look, I have magic missile, but I think if I had said that out loud, it would have shot you with three magic missiles because they're homing.
Oh, even okay, yeah, that would have been bad.
And I know that from Dungeons and Dragons.
So this is very similar to that old meme YouTube video of the people throwing the things at each other. Thunderbolt. Do you remember that?
No.
They're LARPing. It was like back when LARPing people made fun of it, but now
LARPing.
It's just like everyone's constantly LARPing, and they would throw beanbags at each other and go Thunderbolt.
Is everyone constantly LARPing these days?
It sort of seems like every time I'm going outside and like hanging out at places, it seems like I'm constantly seeing people.
They're just around,
like,
yeah.
In costumes and stuff with ears and stuff.
I can't go to the fucking grocery store these days without seeing
a couple
LARPing.
Of ears and a tail. Yeah. Swords and whatnot. Hey, so here's the thing. We were talking before the show. You were like, here's how you should record better. And I just want to basically say this out loud to try and get people's opinions here. Because I don't know if this is one of my opinions that people are going to be like, you're just being dumb. Kind of like with the, you know, how I bought a tiny computer that's loud and then I complain about it being loud. That's one of my dumb opinions.
Yeah, and I'm gonna let you finish. But I heard about something on the internet called fan curves. And maybe you don't want to, but you could look into if that's your problem with why your computer is so loud all the time, because it shouldn't really be loud.
Oh, can I like edit it?
I've heard.
So it like chills out when I'm not doing
anything? Yeah, I don't know anything about it, but I've just seen the phrase and a little bit of an explanation that there is something called fan curves that determines like when your fans are on, that you might be able to change some kind of setting. But I don't know.
To me, doing that would kind of be admitting defeat in a way. Like if I did that, I would almost be saying like I shouldn't have bought this tiny loud computer. I think I'm just going to let it be loud and deal with it. Because what I was trying to avoid was having to do any work whatsoever.
Yeah,
you know?
I feel that.
And so it's like if I start doing the work, it's like, well, geez, why don't you just buy a proper computer? And so I'm going to avoid doing that for the time being until it gets too annoying. I did play Cyberpunk on it the other day and it was screaming. It was louder than a freight train. Anyway, or a freight train. Sorry.
What were you going to say about the audio setup, though?
Oh, so here's one of my computer opinions. I don't believe in recording on the same computer that I'm playing on. I believe that the computer should go into a device that's dedicated for only recording.
Sure.
I feel like it's much too big of a risk to try and have like the audio and the video and the game and Discord and all of these things trying to happen at once. I'm like, we should have it all separated and different computers for each thing. I don't know if that's a crazy thing or if that's reasonable.
That's exactly what I do.
I would be scared.
So that's fine.
But aren't you, you must be running the game on a computer.
The game is running on my gaming PC that I only use to run the games. That goes into a capture card that goes into my laptop that I record it on OBS on.
So where's Discord happening?
Laptop.
With, while it's recording on OBS. So it is exactly how what I'm doing. So what am I doing wrong? Why is it such a pain in the ass for me? I don't understand what the problem is.
I was just saying, look, you have your headphones plugged into your recording computer, right?
Right, because I'm talking to you on Discord.
Because you're talking to me on Discord. So if you're recording the game on OBS, then you can just turn monitoring on the capture card audio, and OBS will play the audio for you so you can hear the game in the same headphones.
So are you saying I should go over and sit at my Mac, my recording computer, and just use OBS as a TV and basically just play it over there?
No, I'm still looking at the screen of my gaming computer. I'm just monitoring it to hear the audio.
Oh, yeah, that solves the audio problem. What I'm trying to solve is why I've got to stand up so much and you don't. Because I like got to stand up and plug it in, then walk across the room and then set up the mic and it's all this
I'm
other stuff.
Sure. I'm not sure what your situation is exactly.
Well, you'll have to come physically look at it and optimize for me.
But then for the mic, this is something that I just learned too and I didn't know was possible. But if you get VoiceMeter, which is a program, it's like a virtual audio mixer or whatever. It's a little bit confusing to set up, but then I just have it set up so that it just works. If I just open VoiceMeter on both computers, it just streams the audio from my mic to both computers, so I can use the same microphone as an audio input on two different PCs. It is possible, and it works through the power of your home internet network.
Am I screwed if I have a Mac, though? You know, that's probably a problem.
If they have VoiceMeter for Mac, I'm sure it's fine.
Okay, I'll look into that.
Listen,
that could be a solution.
I support you if you just are technically challenged and don't want to do it, then that's fine.
Then I'm not technically challenged. I'm literally challenged. I'm practically challenged.
Okay, so it's not just specific to technology.
No, it's not tech. I'm generally challenged. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's all I wanted to say is, okay, so I'm approaching it with the same philosophy as you, but somehow I'm having a nightmare of a time and you're having a great time. I'll figure that out on my own. What's been going on? It's almost been 2 weeks since we've talked because I was in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
I know. Oh,
so
my goodness.
We're recording this very soon. You're going to have to edit the heck out of this.
Yes, we're recording this on Monday and posting it tomorrow. So this is more in line with how people perceive the podcast, I think, because I've seen comments before that are like, I just assume you guys just recorded this and it's like breaking my immersion that you do it like 4 days earlier. But this time, you actually will see it the next day. Anyway, I've been good. A bunch of my family from Indiana came and visited. And
yeah, we both had a heck of a lot of fun.
Yeah, we did a lot of activities and it was really fun. I like showing people around Oregon and, you know, seeing it through new people's eyes. So I'm a bit of a freaking tour guide this summer because then you guys are coming soon too.
I know you're gonna do exactly the greatest hits
and I'm
gonna
do all the
again
same
for
thing.
Us. Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna mix it up a little bit because you guys, I'm assuming, can exert yourselves physically a little more than my whole family could.
We can again,
so we can,
not
like,
physically, it's just mentally
go on a bit,
so physically I'm chilling,
go on a bit longer hikes and stuff with you guys is my plan.
Yeah, we would love a good
I'm
hike.
Gonna take you way into the woods where no
Incredible.
One can hear you scream.
They won't need to.
And we're going to do...
Hopefully.
Never mind.
listen, here's what I want. We're going to play a game. I'm going to say a thing that I think we both did in this past week, and we're going to see the Venn diagram of our experiences.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to start with one. This is
you
an
guys
easy
went
one.
On
okay,
some
ready?
Kind of hike, I think. I saw a picture.
Yeah. So we'll start with, did you go on a hike this weekend?
Oh, this weekend?
Like this past whatever week, you know,
this
whatever
past
when
week,
you were
yes.
doing. Okay, how was it? Where was it?
Well, I can't was it in say the woods? It.
Wait, why can't you say it?
I hiked up a mountain.
Oh, it's like hard to pronounce?
No, I'm just trying. I'm still trying not to reveal my location.
Oh, I see. Okay, true. Well, it was in the woods on a mountain.
Yeah.
And we were mostly in the woods. Yeah, we didn't. There's not a lot of mountains, a lot of woods, etc. All right, fine. If you don't want, well, I'll be more general. Did you see a waterfall?
Yes.
So did we. Incredible. How tall was it? How many feet?
Not very tall, because we just went to a creek to go swimming. So it was like, I mean, literally like maybe 5 feet. It was just like a little one.
Still nice. Still nice. I think the one we saw is like 70 feet. It was beautiful.
Wow.
Big old thing.
This is up by the Canadian Minnesota? Border.
There's a ton of waterfalls up there on account of glaciers.
Okay.
I didn't really understand that, but like they melt and then they cause a lot of things like carves in the earth and then water and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay,
I don't know much about
this?
Minnesota nature because we kind of just sped right through it on our road trip and went to the Mall of America and that was it.
That is Minnesota nature, if you're, I mean, to be honest, that's truly, that's the nature, that's the culture, that's the heart and the soul of that state.
I like
state
that roller coaster that's got those big statues of SpongeBob and Patrick screaming their heads off at the top.
SpongeBob bikini, no, rock bottom
SpongeBob
plunge,
in a bikini,
maybe?
Exactly. That was my favorite
SpongeBob
part.
SpongeBob in a bikini, yes. Yeah, you can meet, it, that's one of the mascots. Okay, we also both went in a lighthouse. Tell me about your lighthouse experience.
Oh, yeah. Wait, so what kind of lighthouse would you have in Minnesota? For what? For a lake?
It is, perhaps you might say, the most superior of the lakes in the world.
Right.
A gigantic lake.
Right.
Called Lake Superior. Yeah, so there's this lighthouse called Split Rock Lighthouse that they built after, like, there was one storm and, like, 30 ships crashed into the cliffs because they couldn't see anything.
That's no good.
Because it gets quite tumultuous on that lake. It's really big. Ashlyn actually describes that whole area as like Oregon coast, but like normal instead of beautiful. Like it's got a similar thing, but it's less like crazy,
Oregon
like
coast, but less.
Storybook. It's like a down to earth version of the Oregon coast.
Okay. So you'll see the real thing when you're here.
Let's comparison is the thief of joy or whatever, but yeah, I'm going to come see
it
the
is,
beautiful
but Oregon
soon.
Is the best state in every way.
This is what I've heard. I'm getting it from all sides, but we'll see if I agree. You don't have a Mall of America. You do have Enchanted Forest. Anyway, what lighthouse is this? Must have been on the ocean, right? Ocean lighthouse?
Yes. We went to Heseta Head Lighthouse.
Okay.
Which Oregonians will know. It's just a famous lighthouse. And we actually didn't get to go inside. I guess sometimes you can go inside, but for the time that we went, it was closed. But we looked at it, and you could kind of
amazing.
Climb up on the hill and see the big lens spinning around in there.
Is it still a used lighthouse? Or I assume not, because they have like GPS and stuff, right? No way!
I mean, I think lighthouses still exist.
Awesome.
What if all your radios go out and stuff?
Yeah, I guess that's a good point. I know the one that we went into is not used anymore, but I guess maybe on Lake Superior it's different because it's like, I don't know, a lake or something.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
It's definitely
but I like the idea
still
of there being,
on
it's
at
computerized
night.
Probably at least.
I mean,
not
I'm
like
sure.
It doesn't have a lighthouse keeper. Robert Pattinson's not up there, you know, jerking off or whatever he was doing in that movie.
Does that happen in that movie? I need to watch.
Okay,
I have that on my watch list.
I thought you'd seen it. Sorry. No spoilers. I won't say anything else.
Oh, no.
Don't worry about it.
Oh, no. I don't know if I want to watch
not,
it anymore.
Oh, no. First of all, Robert Pattinson, oh, yes. But it does have a little bit of that going on.
I mean, what else are you going to do stuck up there?
You have no idea. I mean, you're just going to have to watch it.
Okay.
It's a really good movie.
So did you go to the light? Because you posted that you were like watching that, like that day. Were you inspired by seeing the lighthouse to immediately go watch the lighthouse?
Yes, that's exactly what happened.
That's so funny.
I'm not even joking. We read the whole exhibit because it's like this big museum.
Yeah.
All about lighthouse keepers and what they do and how when it was built and all the things. And there's like all the shipwrecks and. So we were feeling kind of romantic about lighthouses, you know.
Yeah.
And I think they're kind of a romantic, idealized thing. But then you watch The Lighthouse and you're like, oh my God, this is not.
Okay. I don't know anything about the movie. I've just heard it's good. So I guess I'll watch it and maybe I'll come back traumatized.
There you go. It's just a couple of guys hanging out.
Just a couple of guys. Anyway, I do think that there is not, I assume there's not somebody living at the Hesetta Head Lighthouse house. There is like a really nice house. You don't like live in the lighthouse. You like lived in this house that was a little bit down the hill that was like gorgeous little like white picket fence. Not little. It was like pretty big. So it kind of shattered my illusion of, I imagine the lighthouse keeper living like in the bottom floor of the lighthouse and it's leaking.
Yeah, same.
And there's like holes in it. But this was like a very nice home.
Did you hear the foghorn? Did they play that for you?
No.
Holy smokes. You got to hear a foghorn before you die.
The lighthouse has a horn? Isn't
Most
that for the boats?
Most lighthouses have a gigantic, like a separate building with two giant horns on it that are somehow powered by like gasoline, like burning gas, a motor or an engine. And they just make this crazy noise to be like, there's fog. But it's like the deepest, like scariest...
Wait. Foghorn is literally a horn for when there's fog?
Yes, it is. That is exactly... I mean, I assume because they blew it in the fog.
Oh, wait. No, that makes sense, right? Because you can't see the light as well, so you would need a sound.
Right, so they're just saying, yo, hey, just be aware you're getting close.
I gotcha.
To the coast. So probably just throw the anchors down, I guess, and just chill? I don't know.
Wow.
I know.
We learned so much on this show, for real.
I feel like every week we do learn something, right?
Yeah.
We're kind of an educational. Did you sort this by education? I think we can make more money that way.
Should I put it in that category?
Yeah, I think probably. Get different ads. It's going to be reading rainbow ads or whatever they're selling to the kids nowadays.
What else did we do? What else did you do? Waterfall, lighthouse.
Waterfall, lighthouse. We saw 7 total waterfalls on this trip, which was wonderful. All of them were incredible. I know, there's just so many. So we were like in a little cabin. We hiked around and then we went down to Minneapolis and hung out.
I can't even show you any waterfalls here then. You won't be impressed. You've seen them all.
That might be the one thing that Minnesota has in Oregon, I guess, then. Mm-hmm. You know, but mountains and like the depth of the green of the forests and the drama of the cliffs on the ocean, I imagine, would be quite amazing. Also, it was full of Canadian smoke. It was really smoky.
Oh, from fires.
Fire. Yeah. So
I don't know if y'all are getting any of that. That's the thing about the West Coast, too. Lots of fire.
Yeah. So did you do any jet skiing or anything?
Yeah, we did some lake things.
Fun. I saw you going down a tube,
I think, or something.
I don't really know what that was.
That was the creek. I was on a tube at the creek, but at the lake, I was, I don't really do much at the lake. There are exciting things to do, like jet skiing what is it called? Water skiing. The jet ski is the vehicle, and water skiing is the activity of being pulled by the vehicle on skis. Yeah. I always get those mixed up.
Not me on snow way. You
well,
do that skiing thing?
In Indiana, I grew up calling a jet ski a wave runner, which I think is a specific brand.
Such a sick name for a jet ski. Is that like Coke and pop and soda, but for Indiana?
I think so.
Jet skis?
I think Wave Runner is a brand of jet ski.
Oh my God. That's an awesome name. It's like Wave Race.
But so I had to like retrain my brain then because here they call it a jet ski. And then I'm just thinking of the activity of skiing, of water skiing. Anyway.
Why is it a jet? What is it skiing on jets? What is the jet?
Well, you see, there's a jet engine. There's a jet of water that shoots out of it to propel it forward.
Jet ski. But is it? I guess it is skiing on the water. Wait, there's a jet of water shooting out of it?
Well, yes.
Why?
I mean, because it's just a little boat that has a motor in it.
It's a propeller, right?
So it shoots however the motor works. It shoots like a little jet of water under the water.
Okay, all right. I guess I understand what you're saying now.
Yes. Anyway, I don't really do anything too exciting. Sometimes I sit on the back of the jet ski and I'm like the spotter. Like Noah drives the jet ski and I'm just like there to raise a little flag if somebody falls in the water and starts drowning. But
a literal flag?
Well, it's like a yellow floaty thingy. Anyway, that even has been scaring me a little bit because the handles broke that I used to hold on to, and it's like if we turn really fast, I feel like I'm gonna fall off. And I don't really want to fall off because the water is cold.
Yeah.
Moving very fast and scary. And so usually what I do at the lake is get a stand-up paddleboard, which is just a big flat floating board, and sit on it. I don't stand. I sit on it with a kayak paddle, and I paddle out to the middle of the lake, and then I lay down on it and just lay in the middle of the lake for like 30
minutes.
That does sound
extremely nice. Sounds a little bit like a sunburn to me, but I'm very pasty, I suppose.
Oh, definitely. And I have been burning like crazy. I don't know if it's climate change making the UV go up, but I swear when I was a kid, I never burned, or maybe I just didn't care.
Yeah.
But I've actually...
But now you're...
I actually have to wear sunscreen now because it's crazy.
Do you, like, tan when you burn?
Yeah, I tan.
I do, kind of.
I tan like crazy,
like,
and that
a,
was my
farmer's
that
tan.
Was what I would brag about for my whole life, is like, I don't burn, I just tan. But it's kind of, I still do tan, but I have been burning.
So sometimes it's both, you know.
And I know, and so I do wear sunscreen now for everybody that's about to yell at me, because I do know that I think it's technically very dangerous to burn at all.
It's extremely, yes, it is like one of the most,
I know,
like, as of the, all the normal things that we do that are bad for us, like being in the sun is pretty up there.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I wear sunscreen now, and hats. I try to wear hats to protect my
scalp. I hate putting sunscreen on, but you got to. Sunscreen, bug spray, horrible. But
it's actually the worst. I despise the feeling of it on my hands. I don't like it. But
you might say it ruins the pool day, but it's the only option. Do you know where the lake comes from?
Where the lake comes from?
You can finish your sentence. We'll come back to this.
No, I was just saying it's ridiculous, this rule that you have to like reapply sunscreen, what, like every 2 hours?
Oh,
like who's doing that?
No way. No. We're applying it once and just assuming it's fine. We're just crossing our fingers and coasting. And then we assume that our energy is going to run out before the sunscreen does. And sometimes it does.
Anyway, where the lake comes from?
Yeah, where's the lake? Is it just rain? Is there a river flowing into it? And then does it flow out somewhere? Do you have any idea what the origin story of this lake is? Probably glaciers, but I'm just curious if you've ever like... Because you can do the... If there's lakes that are connected by a creek, you could like lazy river your way from lake to lake to lake, right? Or like paddleboard?
Yeah, that's a funny idea. Hold on. I'm looking up a map.
Funny is an interesting word for that. Oh, yeah, but that would be perfect. Just kind of scroll around all the edges and see if you see, like, an entrance or an exit. Did you know that Crater Lake is, like, 75,000 feet deep or something crazy?
I have heard...
Like, it's not 75,000, but it's, like, 1,200 feet deep. It's, like, really deep.
Is it the deepest lake in the world or just in the U.S. or something? I just saw
it
on TikTok.
It might be. It's significantly deeper than Lake Superior, which surprised me.
Anyway.
And it's, like, straight down. Really scary.
Yeah. Very deep. Well, that damn meteor or whatever. Was it a meteor or was it a volcano?
It must have been, right? It wasn't a bomb, a nuclear... Oh, yeah, it could have been a volcano, too.
Hang on.
A nuclear bomb.
I feel like
I think
there know is if
one
it was
lake
a meteor
a
that would be crazy.
Bomb.
Wait.
No, I think
it's volcanic. It's volcanic.
It's volcanic. Does it have an island in the middle?
Yes, it's called Wizard Island, which
circle?
Is very apt for
is
today.
Is it really?
Yes.
Wow. We should
anyway,
go there and have
the
a
lake
battle.
Of which I speak... does seem to come from creeks. I think like a lot of the bodies of water in Oregon are coming from like mountain springs from like the snow melts on
snow.
The top of the mountains and then it
and then
all
eventually
comes down
gets to the ocean.
So there's quite a lot of creeks actually around.
I wonder if you could kayak the all the way to the ocean. Probably not. There's probably waterfalls and rapids
a lot
and
of the
stuff.
Creeks are pretty small and yes also have big waterfalls and stuff that are scary.
Okay. I was just curious. Do you have a... What do you got to talk about today? What's going on? Anything cool?
Just my life. My credit card got hacked, which is
oh,
annoying.
Oh, sick. Okay. Wait, hey, at least it's not your debit card, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
because you can get all the money back. You just tell them, hey, that's I didn't buy that. Yeah. And they're like, fine.
I don't know
like,
what happened.
Credit cards are way more chill for that.
Oh, for sure.
What did they buy?
Well, they just did a bunch of charges on Shein, which I do not shop on Shein. So
is that how you say that?
Yes.
That was Shein.
And you know what's crazy is I've been buying... I don't buy as much fast fashion anymore. I try to, like... I just go to Goodwill and... I mean, these days, I only want to wear enormous t-shirts. Speaking of what I wear. I only want to wear giant t-shirts and giant pants, and I've just been really having fun with that, and so I just go to Goodwill and buy giant t-shirts, and that's all I wear.
And that's, like, the one thing you can always find at a Goodwill.
Yes. It's so easy, and it's so comfortable, and it's so hard for me to go back to my, like, fashionable clothes. Anyway, I don't buy as much fast fashion anymore, but when I was younger... I was big into buying a lot of, like, clothes from, like, Japanese and Korean brands online on websites like Yes Style, and it used to be called Shein Side. So, shout out to anybody that remembers when it was called Shein Side. But I did buy a couple things from there when I was, like, a teenager, because they would sell, just things from, like, Asian brands that you couldn't get on American websites. And now it's just, like, a general... They changed the name, and it's just a general, like, fast fashion site that everybody knows about and uses, which I think is interesting that it, like, blew up so much because it was just, like, one of these kind of niche websites where you could get Asian clothes. What the hell was I saying? They just did a bunch of charges on Shein, which I don't shop there, so I knew that it was wrong. And they only spent, like, I don't know, like $300 or something. Because I think... that was not going to be the main scam. Like, they test the card a few times on, like, on relatively small purchases before they try to, like, do something crazy.
Just to see if you notice,
But, you know, my bank called me and was like, is this fraud? And I said yes, and now I'm still waiting on my new card to get here, and I hope... I don't know. It's confusing because I don't know how they got the information. So I'm kind of scared that it'll happen again.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, it's... I mean... anything you've ever bought from any website, right, is at risk of being leaked or traded or whatever.
Yeah.
You know? Like, it's... that stuff's always... that's, again, that's, like, why I, like... I switched. This is, like, not good advice for a lot of people, so don't take this as financial advice, but I pretty much only use credit cards now for that reason, because they're so easy just to... you buy things, and if anything goes wrong, you just call them and say, oh, I didn't do that.
Yeah, exactly.
And as long as it's not happening every day, they're like, okay, fine, and they just give it back. Whereas, like, with a debit card, you got to, like, prove to the bank that you didn't buy it, and they ask for all this documentation, and then they put a little mark on your record. It's like a whole ordeal. And sometimes you can't even get the money back.
For sure.
Credit cards, they're chilling. We love our credit card companies with our 26.9% APR anyway.
We love credit cards.
We do. In this house, we do. We love credit cards. And we love our points that we get, and we always pay them off. We never carry a balance. That's how we roll.
Pay them off every month. You'll be fine.
Yes. Or if you don't, you'll be fine. I mean, I'm sure we've all... Have you had a credit card debt moment in your life? I definitely got pretty deep in for a little while.
No. Because I just...
Really? Never?
No. Because I
just
pay them off.
No, you're really good with money. I always forget about that.
I mean...
You're, like, always... You were, like, poor and responsible, which is obviously what you should be if you're really poor.
But, yeah, like, I mean, I just...
A lot of people,
like,
aren't.
In college, like, I didn't even have a credit card until grad school, I think. Because in college, I just had a bank account and a debit card. And so I was just used to living on exactly how much money I actually had. So then by the time I got a credit card, I was, like...
Easy.
In the same kind of mindset as I just use it as if it's my debit card, and then I pay it off.
Yeah, that's the way to go. That is the way to go.
Anyway,
but that's
since
not
we're
the way
about
I went.
Halfway, I think we should maybe go outside, maybe change locations.
Yeah, you can show me this worm spell.
Oh, hello! Look at us on
there
this
you
beach.
Are.
Okay, welcome to the beach. Look at these
we're here.
Gorgeous mountains. Do you
yes,
want to do
very
a quick
Spyro the Dragon
skybox review?
Skybox itself is, I'd say, actually pretty good. I like blurry stars. I'm a big fan of, like, blurry star skyboxes.
The way you look
they
when
make
you're
me feel good.
Looking straight up. You're doing a crazy back bend.
This is what it looks like in real life when I look
at
the
If anybody
skyboxes.
Has a titanium rod in their spine, they're so jealous of what you're doing right now because they can't possibly
do that.
Is that
a thing people have?
Oh, yeah. People, spinal fusion. Have you heard of that? People have to get their spine.
And then they can't bend their back?
Yeah, partially.
Why would you do that?
I guess because
if your spine's
necessary.
Falling apart. Yeah, it's like a way of stabilizing, so at least you can stand up straight.
You can get it if you have
That'd
really bad scoliosis, or like if something is kind of irreparably wrong with a vertebrae.
Okay, well, all those people are jealous, like you said.
Yeah, they can't even dream of doing what you're doing right now.
No, they can't.
I've heard it's like really... I think it's like one of the most painful surgeries, and it's just Oof. Really weird to recover from, because you kind of feel like you can't move.
And you can't ever again, right?
Yeah. And you get used to it eventually, but it would be very strange at first.
Yeah. Shout out to all our fans with spinal
Yeah,
bars.
Does anybody have What'd their spine fused?
At least somebody has to. We've got one person of every kind in this audience, I feel like.
We
every
always
time
do.
We mention
There's
anyone.
Always somebody.
Yeah.
I
it's
love
either
that.
A whole bunch of liars or just a very diverse audience.
Yeah.
I think people are
just diverse in general. Like, you talk to random strangers, you find out so much. Like, everybody has lived such a life. If you ask people questions, you know?
Definitely true, yes. If you ask good questions, you'll get good stories.
For sure.
For the most part. Or they'll tell you about things you don't want to hear about. That does happen sometimes if you strike up a conversation with a random person at a campsite bar in northern Minnesota. They might tell you some stuff that you aren't really interested in talking about.
Like what? Like but what they were doing in a lighthouse with another guy?
No, unfortunately, that would have been preferable. I would have preferred video footage of that than having to hear about it. It's just always straight to politics, and you're just like, stop. Like, no, I'm asking you about your life, and you're telling me about how you got yelled at by a trans 11-year-old, and I'm like, I just can't even begin to have this conversation right now.
Oh, no.
First of all, cap, no, you did not.
Right.
But it is what it is.
I thought you were going to tell me some tea, and it's just an annoying person.
Unfortunately, no. there was one guy who, he was trying to say, like, at what age did I get recruited into the gangs, because I told him I was from Minneapolis, and I told him if he didn't shut his mouth about my hometown, I would burn the bar
down.
Is
that a reputation that Minneapolis has?
No.
Gangs?
I was going to get furious. I said I was going to chop his head off and burn the bar down. I didn't say that, but... you know how anyone who isn't from a city thinks the cities always are?
But I guess. Just like compared to the country?
Well, because... Actually, here's something interesting. It did kind of click in my head during this conversation of what one of like the big dividing lines is between when you grow up rural versus city. I just think we can't actually comprehend the amount of people that are in cities, because these people are from a town of 400 people. So if they hear a police siren, it's like a big deal. They told me that one person got robbed 4 years ago, and that was like the last crime that happened in the city. And so if you're growing up in this environment where your nervous system learns that like a crime is a huge, like a once in a decade thing.
Yeah.
And a police siren is like a big deal. And then you go to the city, you are going to like have trouble comprehending like, well, you know, per capita, the amount of crimes is actually less. And it's like your body's not going to get that. And I think that didn't really click for me how intuitive it must be to feel like the city is this disastrous place.
Yeah, that's actually
you grow
a good
up
point
in a place,
that
you know
I never
mean?
Thought about. Like, if you truly are not used to it and you go to like even a small city and just hear, you know, like I probably hear an ambulance or some kind of siren like almost every day.
Yeah,
I guess
constantly.
That might be weird if you're not used to it, that like
it would
you
feel
know
very,
you just hear
exactly.
it and move on with your life.
Because if it's happening, you're like, oh, there's it's a big deal, we all need to be
yeah like somebody I know
edge.
Down the
like
street
somebody,
is dying
right.
or something.
And so imagine that basically it's that feeling every time. And, you know, you should be able to override your base emotions and use some facts and logic. But I just had a little moment of empathy. And then this was we got into some of the worst political conversations after this. But I had a brief moment of empathy where I was like, you know, OK, I get why. I understood why when he said that the last crime was a mugging 4 years ago,
mm-hmm.
I was like, it would be pretty weird if you were like hearing gunshots, you know, once a month or hearing police sirens every day.
Yeah. That
it would seem
makes a
much
lot of
worse
sense.
Than it is.
I never thought about that.
Yes, not to have empathy for transphobes or anything like that, but empathy for all people to some extent is a good thing.
For sure.
Or at least it helps us understand the world that we're in.
Yeah. Now, when you find yourself in that kind of conversation with somebody that you quickly realize you disagree with very strongly on a lot of fundamental things, are you, like, entertaining it? Are you, like, trying to get out of it? Because I would probably find an excuse to leave immediately.
I mean, it can go one of like three ways. Usually my first instinct is to like start making fun of them for it, but in like a jovial, like, because, you know, like I feel like white guys can like make fun of each other and feel like, oh, I'm just a white guy, we're just like joking about stuff. So I'll usually go straight to making fun of them or saying things like, I do not believe what you're saying, you're lying to me right now, but in a way that like will kind of keep them in the conversation and make it not awkward. That's an option. The other option's pivot. I usually won't do a hard pivot because, like, if they really want to have that conversation, I'll do it. But then if it continues on that way, then it ends up going in this place where it's like, I'll usually kind of stop. And this is something that very rarely happens because people don't actually want to talk about things.
Yeah.
But sometimes I'll stop and I'll go, listen, I'll talk to you about this. I really will. But I just want you to know that I think Joe Biden is the greatest president in this country's history. Say something like that. And just to like set the tone, that didn't have to happen in this particular case because his friend, I think, realized that I don't think his friend wanted to listen to his political ramblings. Mm-hmm. And so he pivoted the conversation away and it was fine. So I'll usually start by like joking around and making fun.
Yeah, I guess it depends.
And then if it
like,
continues, you kind of have to be like, listen, this is, we can have this conversation if we really want to, but then it's going to have to be a conversation. And this, we're outside of a bar in northern Minnesota. I'm outnumbered, first of all.
Yeah.
Every single person in that bar is 65 years old, and they all looked directly at me when I walked in there. So,
yeah, if it's somebody that I don't know, there is no world in which I have the serious conversation with them. Because I'm like never going to see this person again. I don't care. I just want to get out of it. So I'll either just immediately get out of it or the best thing really to get people to actually examine their views is just to ask them detailed questions about it. And eventually they reach a point where they actually realize they don't know what they believe or they have no backing for what they're saying. So I'll like ask a couple questions and play it as genuine curiosity because I am also curious why they think that. But then it's actually kind of impressive how quick that kind of conversation can fizzle out when you ask a couple questions and they'll want to change the subject.
Yes. It can also be helpful to do the Nathan Fielder method of just basically repeating what they say back to them, but as a question.
Yes.
So if they go like, I got yelled at by a trans 11-year-old, you go, you got yelled at by a trans 11-year-old?
Yeah.
And you just kind of look at them, and they'll dig their own hole or whatever it is. But I haven't discovered a way of having a productive conversation in that context with someone you don't know.
No.
Usually the best way to have a productive conversation is to go home. Not, there's nothing you can do.
Yeah.
But if somebody has a better solution, I'll take it. Oh, I had a question. When you play video games, do you have, the mini map? Do you do north up or forward up?
Haven't we had this conversation before?
Did we?
Or
because I wrote it in my notes, so that'd be funny if we did.
I talked about this at length on my stream once because I'm a very firm believer in north up. And
me
that
too.
Goes for
I'm
my
I'm really glad to hear that.
That goes for my video games and for my GPS in real life. I hate when it turns with me.
Kind of self-centered people walking around going, the way that I'm going is the way that the world is oriented.
Right.
That's a crazy thing to do.
Just
to orient the entire world. Just the direction you're going because you can't spatially align yourself.
Because over time I'm trying to build a map of the area in my head and I can't do that if it's turning all the time.
Yeah. No, that's actually the reason for me too. I think people who play video games are way better at maps than a lot of people nowadays, because we don't really use, like, we don't read maps for much.
Maybe.
So I do think that's, like, a skill. Like, a lot of people aren't very good at spatially placing themselves. And I think if I was bad at that, you probably would want it to be forward up, you know? But I just think that's crazy. You want to know where you are. What direction am I facing? What am I looking at?
It is crazy.
Where am I in relation to where I just was?
And I think it makes it harder to, just like I said, to build a map in your head and to be able to figure it out yourself, because I'm trying to get to a point where if the GPS stops working or something, I'm like, okay, I know that the destination is northwest of here, and I know which way I'm going, and so I just figure it out in real life. And I
would
feel
you
like
ever
that's
do
harder
like
to
a,
do if it's...
Would you ever do a leave-your-phone-at-home road trip? Just like a two-week...
Road trip?
Don't even bring it?
No phone?
Just like get the fuck out of somewhere? No phone, just like a map? Did you ever do that?
I mean, I just get scared that, like, I'm going to have to call 911.
When have you ever had to call 911 on a road trip?
Never in my life.
Well, thank God, because that would have been embarrassing if you had.
Not one time.
Like, oh, shoot. Some horrible story, but...
I do think...
Yeah, I know. It's good to be able
to... I've had to, like, call
AAA
before.
Services.
Like, what do I do if I... Am I alone or do I have another person? Because with one other person, then maybe, okay, I feel safe enough because, like, one of us starts dying, the other person can go find help.
I guess no phone
would be
what I would say, though,
scary.
Is, like, if this was... People did it for decades.
I know, and
you
they were crazy.
Your car just breaks, and I guess, what are you, hitchhike?
You and
maybe
just have
the problem
to fucking
now is people
walk
wouldn't
to the nearest gas
station
or something and find
true.
A phone.
Yeah. That's a good experience, probably.
I have been enjoying
the gas station.
Just as sad as this sounds, just leaving my phone in another room for like an hour without having it like physically attached to my hand.
It is very nice. Yeah. It's like that the weird feeling of like silence and peace you get.
Yeah.
Probably indicates something really weird about our relationship with the phone, which is not a new thought. Obviously, everyone's talking about that all the time, but
yeah.
Feels good. It's kind of like, have you ever just, for the fun of it, just like flipped the master circuit breaker in your house? Just like everything off? All the humming, all the buzzing, the lights gone?
Have you done that?
Yeah. Not in this current house I'm in, but because I don't know like which circuit breaker is which because it's like multiple units, but yeah,
no,
sometimes.
I haven't done that yet.
If you really want to go crazy, you can turn off the water main as well. No running water. It's a good...
Ooh.
Good feeling.
Like,
yeah.
Just temporarily living in the woods.
Yeah.
Off grid.
Just peaceful. Peaceful and nice. Do you know where your water main shutoff is?
I do not. And neither does my landlord.
Well, one of you needs to figure this out, right? You got to... The first thing you do after this pod needs to be figuring out where your
water main
shutoff is.
He doesn't know anything about the house. Like, very basic questions about the house he doesn't know.
Like how old it is?
I mean, I haven't asked him that, but he doesn't know where the water main is. He didn't know where the circuit breakers were, I think.
That's crazy. Because that's a really common thing for a landlord to have to do.
Yeah, I don't know.
But
I need
so
to
if
ask
you have
him
like
if
a
like...
leak, like if the sink starts, he's just going to be like, oh, well, we'll just wait till
no,
it runs
he would,
out.
He would not know what to do.
Call the city and
he might
call
911. And then
sure,
the plumber would come in and ask
out.
Me where the water main is, and I go, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Then the plumber probably has some
luck.
Knowledge of how to find it.
Yeah. But yeah, landlords suck. Thank you to everybody that agrees with me in the comments that landlords suck.
They're all...
What the fuck,
I don't think
man.
I've ever met one that was, like, totally normal and chill. Like,
my
all
landlord,
of them are a little bit crazy.
My landlord in Philly was nice. I will say that. I don't remember what
nice
his name was.
Or normal and chill.
Like,
including fixing things that needed to be fixed and so on.
Yeah.
Okay,
he was normal
they,
and chill and nice, I would say.
That is good. There's just so few that take care of the property proactively while also not being overbearing. I feel like it's one or the other, basically.
No,
I've also
had
one
he had a really
who was
good
on
balance.
Top of their shit.
It was like him and his brother or something... running the business together, and they were very responsive, they were very chill, and just like knew how to do things, did a lot of stuff themselves. So shout out to the one cool landlord that I've had.
Shout out. I think people, you just have to, too many people think of being a landlord as like passive income, and it's actually just like a job. Like, it's a hard job doing it right.
They were working like crazy.
People don't really, exactly. You, like, if you're doing it right, you should be like regularly inspecting things, checking things, fixing things, swapping things out, you know. But
I don't know if they had other properties, but they owned this whole like 3-story apartment building that I lived in that was a 100-year-old building because all the buildings in Philly are. So all kinds of bizarre problems would arise. My ceiling caved in one time into my bathroom. Ever tell you about that?
Oh, God. No. Were you on the top floor?
I was on... Okay, I guess it was a 4-story building because I was on the 3rd floor. One day I came home from class and heard, like, falling water in my bathroom.
Not a good
sound. And I go in there and there's water just pouring from my ceiling. And it hadn't collapsed at this point.
Clean water?
I mean, as clean as water can be going through a 100-year-old floor. Right.
But, I mean, it wasn't sewage.
It wasn't sewage,
It was a water main. It was an intake or whatever.
Well, we found out that it was the water heater of the person upstairs. The bottom had completely rusted out, and it was the entire water heater emptying down.
My God.
Through the floor.
The people who put water... This is, like, such a common thing. Water heaters on a 2nd floor... Unless it's absolutely necessary, which I guess in an apartment it kind of is, because you don't want it to be all the way at the bottom of the
building. Yeah, every apartment had its own water heater.
But holy crap, that just seems like such a liability.
Yeah.
You know, just get those... Do you have one of those fancy ones where it just heats it instantaneously?
No, they have a lot of those in Japan. I wonder what what the data is on, like, efficiency of that versus a regular water heater. Does it use more energy to do it that way?
Well, cumulatively, probably not. But for each drop of water, probably. Because, like, the water heater has to be constantly heating and reheating the water, even if you're not using it.
Yeah.
Whereas the point of service water heater would just be heating it in the moment, probably pretty quickly. I don't know. It might be more efficient. But... I feel like that's a question for when you own a home. That's like what you have started talking about.
Yeah.
Learning about.
Anyway,
like,
I come home, there's water pouring from my ceiling. I call the landlord and he's like, well, how much water is it? And I'm like, a lot. It's pouring. And then as I'm on the phone with him, I hear a huge crash.
Whoa.
And I go, fuck. And I walk in the bathroom and basically the whole ceiling of my tiny little bathroom had collapsed, and now even more water was flowing out of it. And so I'm like,
how much water could be in a water heater? So, I guess it keeps filling up though, so it's infinite.
It's very big. I mean,
yeah,
I don't know how many gallons it is. It's like almost the height of a person and huge. I guess a small person. It's like 4 feet tall.
I feel like what's funny is if that happened to me, I would assume that the house was, you just write it off. The house is, it's done. Like, I feel like I wouldn't even know where to begin.
They fixed it in, like, 2 days.
Cleaning that up. Like, how would you even do that?
They cleaned up the rubble, and they, like, re-plastered the ceiling or whatever.
And fixed the water damage and stuff? Like, I just don't... It's amazing to me that people have figured out all this stuff.
I don't know if they did.
The mold that's now growing in between the apartments.
They probably weren't really doing, like, mold remediation, but they did fix the ceiling.
Yeah. Just seems like such an ordeal
Here's
to
the
clean
thing.
Stuff up.
Can somebody let me know if we have any... Well, maybe don't. If it's scary, don't let me know. How dangerous it really is to have mold in your house. I think it depends a lot on the type of mold.
Yes.
I mean, because our house in Indiana, we would get... we would get, like, mold on stuff in the summer because it was very humid. And there's always mold in the... air, and then the air is inside, and so I caught a couple times, like, some mold on my, like, clothes that were hanging up and stuff.
Yeah.
But then you just clean it and move on. And we did get a dehumidifier, because it was because our AC wasn't working right. And then I saw a TikTok recently of a girl that noticed the same thing, like, she had, like, some mold growing on her shoes or whatever in like, a humid location. And then everybody in the comments was telling her, like, you are going to die. You need to get out of there. And I'm
yes.
like...
No, people are way too concerned about death. I still say, and I've probably said this on the show before, if it's safer than getting in my car, I'm not going to worry about it. Like, that's my threshold. Is like, I'm chill about driving, so if mold is less than driving, I'm not going to worry about it. But I think you're probably correct that it, like, black mold probably actually is not something you want to deal with.
Sure, and I feel like if you have an active, if you have an active problem where, like, something is leaking and causing continuous moisture in the walls or something, like, obviously that's bad because it's just going to grow out of control.
Yeah. But
I've always just kind of treated it as, like, as long as you clean up the area and then you make sure there's not a leak or something that's going to continue adding water to the area, then you're probably fine.
Yeah, and I think once mold is, like, dried out, it's docile. Well, at least that's what my dad said.
Like, I think you can have problems if you have, like, asthma or something, obviously, or, like, allergic to it. I don't know. But, I mean, honestly, let me know. And if there's, like, different types of mold that I need to be worried about, because I don't have any problems like that in this house at all, but we did in Indiana for a little bit, and I just kind of, yeah, we just kind of lived with it. I don't know.
Exactly. Everything down here is moldy all the time, I feel like. It's just like the nature of being in a humid place.
Yeah.
The central air helps a lot. I feel like it's unavoidable
in certain places, too.
Yeah, a little bit of mold is okay as a treat, as they say.
Yeah.
You know, just a little bit here and there, a little white mold maybe. No big deal. Black mold, probably more serious.
Because it's outside all the time. You're breathing in mold spores when you go outside.
Yep, constantly. And I feel like it's one of those things that, like, you would know if it was a problem. Like, if you're in your house all the time and there's mold and you're constantly, like, coughing and sniffling,
yeah,
maybe you should look into it. But if you're feeling good, you know, your doctor says you're doing all right, eh, it's probably fine. But don't listen to me.
Yeah,
I'm not a professional.
You are, though. We are. We're the mold experts, and we actually think it's fine. So,
okay. I mean, we eat mold, don't we?
It's fine.
Isn't, like, certain kinds of food, isn't it mold?
For sure. Like cheese.
Cheese? Yeah. Cheese is mold. Cotton candy.
Freeze!
Holy shit, my screen is completely white. It looked like mold all over my screen, actually.
Are you back to normal now?
Yeah.
That barely did anything to you. I guess maybe it just keeps you still. Well, I cast something else on you.
I wasn't trying to move, so I guess, yeah. Can I see worm? Do you want to do worm?
Oh, right. Hang on.
I want to see worm.
Worm.
Whoa.
Wait for it. Hole.
I'm waiting.
So you say worm hole, and then it makes a portal.
That's incredible. Now, is there a limit to the distance?
I don't know. Maybe,
like,
not.
If you hole at the top of the tower and worm down in the sands, can we teleport? That's what I want to know.
Well, now
this is probably a really fun game. How big are the teams?
I don't know. Should we play a match?
Well, I can't do anything, so I probably shouldn't.
Dang.
But you'll figure it out. You'll report back. I have been playing a video game.
Oh, yeah. Maybe tell us about this video game.
Sure. It's called openfront.io, and you play it by going to openfront.io.
And what's
it about? It's one of those, you know how there's those people who like games where it's like a map of the world and you have to take over the world?
You were telling me about this. It's like
incredible. There you go.
Wait, did you just say this last episode?
It's definitely possible.
I think you already talked about this. It's like,
I'm also playing Grand Theft Auto. Anyone heard of that? So we can add that in instead.
Oh, that's a hidden gem.
Believe it or not. Yeah, Grand Theft Auto.
Which one? Three. Five? Oh, three.
Three. Did you know that in three, you know how in Grand Theft Auto there's the radio and you turn it on and it plays like Snoop Dogg music and stuff?
Sure.
In three, the composer just made fake songs for all the radio stations,
mm-hmm,
which I think is really cool. That's a way more fun thing to do.
It is
than
cool.
Just license a
I
bunch
like
of songs.
I like when a game has, like, in-universe music.
Yeah, it's like fake artists with, like, fake hits from the fake 80s. It's really fun.
Are
really
the
fun
songs
thing.
In GTA 5, are they songs that would get you in trouble for posting to YouTube? Yes. Or are they like...
Yeah, generally, I have to be careful. Yeah, sometimes I've accidentally done it, and it's like, nope, can't do that. Yeah. Like, they grab them pretty quick, so...
That's annoying.
Unfortunately, yes. It is a little
but
annoying.
But we need to do an episode in GTA. I keep telling you this. You just have to put it on your PC.
I'm actually, yeah, just about to download it, because I have someone who's building a mod for me, a very simple mod. That I have to test out for a video. So.
Except the problem is I already undownloaded it, and it takes forever to download because it's 1 million gigabytes.
It's very large.
And then every time you re-download it to your computer, to go online, they make you do the tutorial again. It doesn't matter, like, obviously, on my account, I have logged hours online, I've done it before. It's like it saves it, like locally whole, whether you've done the tutorial
like the
or not. You have to
the,
do the whole fucking tutorial mission
heist?
Every time
oh,
you
that's
reinstall
horrible.
It.
That's really horrible. I think we would have a lot of fun in that game, but that's pretty annoying.
I know, but it takes up like my entire hard disk, so I uninstall it all the time, and then I forget that I have to do the tutorial again. That's actually crazy.
Yeah.
They better fix that in 6, if 6 ever happens.
What do you mean, if 6 ever happens?
Is it happening?
Now. Yeah, they've announced it. They put trailers out. Yeah, it's like...
It's just been a million years. I just give up on these things after a while.
It's been a really long time,
while.
Yes. No, it's it like is. How it will I, be coming out at some point.
They actually put out a trailer for the new Avatar movie, but I still have doubts that it's not going to get delayed because they always delay them.
You know what's funny? Can I tell you something? I just flew home.
Please tell me something
airplane.
Funny.
I'm going to tell you something funny. Three different... I can't believe I didn't start with this because it was amazing. Three people around me watching movies. Right on my left, Mickey 17. Guys watching Mickey 17. Movie that you've talked about on the pod and that you liked.
Yes.
Guy right in front of him, Mission Impossible. Don't know which one. Mission Impossible.
Oh my God, it's Mem's favorite movies.
The Row. Yeah. No, I. Not even joking.
What was the other one?
The other one is, you literally just said it. And I blanked on it. I told you I only slept like 3 hours. What was the movie?
Wait.
You just literally said it out loud.
I don't remember either.
No, this was 2 seconds ago.
Like, what were we talking
Wait,
about?
How did I... GTA... Oh, Avatar.
Avatar.
Avatar on the one over to the right in front of that guy.
Yeah,
I think it was the second Avatar.
Okay.
And it was on his phone. So I couldn't tell for sure.
That's the way
to
experience it.
Listen, if James Cameron's going to come to you.
Listen, I approve of Mickey 17 and Mission Impossible. I'm not going to say Avatar is one of my favorite movies.
Here's
Certainly
what I can
not.
Tell you. Based on watching it from the side without hearing it, I thought Mickey 17 looked kind of bad. Because I turned and it had a bunch of creatures. And I don't like when movies have a bunch of creatures at the end. Too many movies do that. But when I looked and saw that Mission Impossible... I see Tom Cruise, he's hanging off one airplane and getting onto another airplane.
Yes,
I was sweating. It was incredible. So,
Wait,
I
so
might,
that must
I
be the newest little, one.
Is it? It was like a yellow biplane and,
yes.
and a red biplane. Yeah, he was watching that one. And I was like, damn, this is really intense.
I wish all the time that I could re-experience certain Mission Impossible stunts again, because there's certain ones when I saw it for the first time, I literally like screamed out loud and like laughed so hard. And one of them is when Tom Cruise hangs on to a running airplane for the first time. He's done it multiple times now because he just did it in this new
one
too.
Things.
But the one where it like starts out in this field and the rest of the team is talking on the comms and they're like watching this plane take off that Tom needs to get on to like get the bad guys or whatever, and they're like, they don't know where Tom is. They're like, where's Ethan? Do you know where Ethan is? No,
Ethan.
I don't know where he is. And then he shows up running full speed on like next to the airplane taking off on the runway.
On his feet?
Grabs on, jumps onto this like tiny little ledge that's outside the door, grabs onto the door of the airplane and hangs onto it as it takes off. And that's just one of these things that I could not believe what I was seeing. It was so absurd. I was like freaking out seeing that for the first time. And I wish I could erase that from my mind so I could see that again.
I think what's so crazy to me and what surprises me about him is that I probably would have said that it really would be a marginal improvement over just faking it. But it is like, because the fact that it's real, You and it's like it's kind of clunky and a little ugly. Like it doesn't look clean.
Yes.
And it looks like there's a real struggle
That's
to it.
The thing,
and it really does elevate the intensity of it in a way that I honestly wouldn't have guessed.
You
I would have thought, like, whatever,
real,
you can fake it.
Because he doesn't care about his appearance while he's doing the thing. He doesn't care
exactly.
that he looks
yes.
cool while he's doing it because it's a realistic amount of air pushing his face back mm-hmm. while he's hanging onto the side of the airplane. And it doesn't look cute, but it does look
no,
real.
And it doesn't, like, he doesn't look like a perfect action star who's,
no.
like, jumping from... He's struggling. Like,
he
he's
looks
really
like somebody
working
hanging
for
onto the side of a fucking
yeah.
jet.
It was very convincing. Just that little sequence I watched.
Yeah.
Without
he
hearing
gets,
anything. It was pretty
every
good.
Every time... Like, he's had the same haircut for decades at this point. And however
yeah.
he gets his haircut, every time he has a lot of wind blowing on him, it, like, turns into a bowl cut, and he has these crazy bangs from, like, the wind
nice.
Blowing on the top of his head. And again, it doesn't look cute, but that's part of the charm of it, is that he's, like, a different star that was more obsessed with their appearance would be, like, we need to film this on a green screen so that there's not as much wind so that I can look good. But he does
well,
not care.
Well, you make sure that the angles are, like, nice,
yeah.
and you make sure that, like, it's all smooth. But it's kind of awesome that it's not. Like, I really appreciated it.
Oh, my God. We
so,
just
you
end
know?
Every podcast episode glazing Tom Cruise.
I feel like this podcast has, like, small arcs, like 3 to 4
yeah.
episode arcs, like Pilates or whatever, and now it's, like, Tom Cruise, we had a little Mr. Beast moment, and so now we just have little arcs, so
Except
maybe by
I
next
quit
week I'll
Pilates.
Have watched.
I kind of let that lady win, because
I did
stopped
see you,
going.
You did a little Pilates for your video.
I did a little Pilates for my video, and I have been, oh my gosh, I've been back in the gym, I just went this morning. And
nice.
Just,
okay, what are you
I
doing?
I just posted about this, but I came up with a genius plan, which is that...
Steroids?
I want to try to... Steroids, yes. But also I'm going to go... I want to go to the gym close to every day, which sounds very intimidating to me because I've never done that in my life. The most I've gone is like 2 or 3 times a week.
How far away is your gym?
Very close. Like 5-minute
okay.
drive.
Totally doable then.
I do think it's doable. I want to try because I want to get my cardio up because my doctor told me I should be doing fucking like 2 hours of cardio a week and I'm not even anywhere close to that. I usually do 20 minutes at a time on the treadmill, so that's like a lot of times I need to go to the gym.
2 hours of just cardio every week. What counts as cardio?
Just getting your
Walking?
Heart, your heart pumping faster. But anyway, my genius plan is I study Japanese about an hour a day, maybe half an hour to an hour a day, depends how many flashcards I have, because I do flashcards on Anki, and I add more all the time. But I've been doing the flashcards on the treadmill yesterday and today. And so I'm multitasking, I'm maximizing my productivity, my grind set, and I think it's going to change my life, because I always forget to do my flashcards until right before I go to sleep, and then I'm up too late. Doing them at like
11
p.m.
Are you doing that same thing still where you go like 30 degree treadmill?
Yeah.
Insane.
Not 30 degrees.
So,
it's 10 degrees.
Whatever it is, however high it goes. Still though, it's crazy.
10 degrees, 3 miles an hour I do about 20 minutes. I think the like viral trend that you're supposed to do is like 12 degrees and 30 minutes. So I do it a little bit less
of
an incline and less
time.
What's
viral about that? Like, is it like, if you do this, then you'll just be healthy?
It's just a workout that was popular on the internet recently. I forget what they called it.
Because it's like simple.
Yeah.
Simple to do and approachable. We like killing two birds with one stone. The Buddhists would tell you not to. I say, fuck them. You learn Japanese with your
Yeah. But
walking.
I do think that the increased blood flow is like making me better at the flashcards, honestly.
Oh, that's interesting. Making your brain smarter.
Yeah, because I did notice I had such a funny moment when we were in Japan last time. I was doing my flashcards at night and I was like, I am way better at this when I'm standing up, because usually I do them right before I go to bed and I'm like either laying on the bed or sitting, and I can remember the words better if I'm just standing up walking around the room.
That's interesting.
I don't know what the science is with that.
Yeah, you could have a medical condition.
But I can remember things way better when I'm walking around,
yeah.
like pacing.
Huh. I think there's something to like walking and pacing, maybe. I don't know. I believe that. I feel like that makes sense. But it's interesting then that like now you've learned that it's even better if you're doing treadmill.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like the more you can work out, the more genius you're going to be. It's like the Hulk, only for the opposite. It's like you are the Hulk, but then the more you work out, the smarter you get instead of the dumber.
Exactly. So I'm trying to like Pavlov myself into associating the Japanese studying with the treadmill, and then like I gotta do my Japanese, but I can only do that if I'm on the treadmill, and then I gotta go get on the treadmill.
And these are physical flashcards, or is it on your phone?
It's on my phone.
Okay.
It's on Anki. Anki changed my life. Highly recommend if you need to remember anything.
Really?
Yeah. I like.
Okay.
Could not. My biggest problem, and people laugh when I say this, but my biggest problem with learning a language has always been vocab, and people will laugh because they're like, well, it's all vocab. I mean, yes, but like I can remember the grammar structures and stuff because you hear them all the time, but just like the,
so it's the specific,
just
yeah, the
learning
nouns
a number
the, yeah.
of words,
right?
Just because my memory is so bad in general has always seemed like so impossible to me. Like there have been people in my classes growing up that will just hear a word in a conversation one time and then they'll know it and they'll be able to use it the next time. I will just like, if I hear a new word in a conversation, I'll ask what it meant and they'll tell me, and the word is immediately out of my brain because then they told me what it meant. So I have no need for the word anymore. My brain just throws it out.
So you were just like, I'm curious. And then they go this, you go, okay. That's it.
Yes.
It was it's the novelty of it.
So Anki is just an app that does spaced repetition. And spaced repetition is literally like magic. I've never been able to remember vocab. And it just like, you know, it spaces things out. So you like learn something the first day and then it shows it to you the next day. And then it shows it in 2 days and 3 days and whatever. And there's like levels, you like rate the flashcards from like didn't know it at all to like that was pretty hard to good to super easy, and then it changes the spaced repetition based on that. And it's crazy, it's just crazy that something so simple like changed everything for me. Like I let me actually check. I'm not like super consistent with it as much as I should be, and I need to be like adding words more because I just add all the flashcards myself. But I have.
Do they have like packs you can get like of certain things pre-made?
Yeah,
packs?
But I like making them myself because then I learn them better anyway. Anyway, I can't check on my phone, but I have something like 4,000 or 5,000 words that
Holy
I've learned
Christ.
In the past. I mean, that's not really
How
that
many
much for like
Japanese
2 years.
Words are there? This gotta be like half of them.
I mean, I've heard crazy things like you only need like a few thousand to have daily conversations.
Yeah, how many words do we even know probably in English? Like, I don't even know if I know 1,000.
I've looked this up before. I think it's a lot.
I don't believe
how
that.
How many words does average person know? And I want to say it's like 50K or something. Or 20K. 20K.
No shot. No way. We couldn't even name 50 women.
Well,
or whatever it was, 100.
Well, it's harder to think of them actively, but yeah, of course you probably know a shit ton of words.
So, okay, video idea. I'm just going to read you the dictionary and we're just going to go through every word
and see how many of them we know.
Count. Yeah, it's going to be the first time someone's actually counted, and we're going to do it with like 100 people, and then we're going to average. How long do you think it takes? Can you Google that? How long does it take to read through the dictionary slowly?
Well, I just looked up how many words are in the dictionary, and it's about 100,000.
Okay, and you're telling me you think I know half of those.
Well, I just said the average person knows 20,000 words. So,
I thought you were kind of like guessing. So that's what it said. 20,000.
Yeah.
Huh.
So we should know like
20%
of the words.
So if you do 100,000 words, if you do one word every 10 seconds, that's a million seconds? How many days is a million seconds? That's what I got to figure out. And then that's about how long it would take to do that with one person. And then if I could hire a bunch of people to do it with 100 people, or I could just hire 50 people to do it to each other, or 100 people, 50, 50, Okay, I'll figure it out. And then we can get an actual count, because I don't know if I believe that. How do they estimate that?
1 million seconds is about 17 days if you were spending 16 hours a day.
Oh God. All right, that's going to take a while. I'm just saying I don't understand how they came to that number, 20,000.
I'm
sure there was some clever, you know,
I'm sure there's a paper
are.
About it somewhere.
I'm going to read it and I'm going to print it off and read it.
Anyway, so I'm a bit of a perfectionist, I think, with my language learning, so I think I've said before, I get really frustrated when I see a lot of words in a sentence that I don't know, and then I just want to, like, leave and get my vocab up so that I can just read everything perfectly the first time.
Do you remember that being the case when you were, like, 3, when you were learning English?
No, that's the thing, but I don't know. I can't go back to that. I can't learn like a 3-year-old anymore because I get too mad that I don't know.
Yeah, because that's just like immersion. Because if you just like, if we threw you into Japan for a year, you'd come out speaking fluent Japanese, especially at this point. And you probably kind of are pretty good at it. Are you fluent? Would you consider yourself fluent?
I can talk. I can talk to people. Fluent is a strong word and it means different things to different people. Some people will call themselves fluent as long as they can have a conversation.
Right. But it's like if you met a random person.
I think what frustrates me and like embarrasses me about trying to speak Japanese to Japanese people is that I would consider myself fluent when I can truly express what I want to express and like have my same personality in Japanese.
Yeah, that's tough.
Which I'm nowhere near that right now. Like I can kind of make jokes and stuff, but it's obviously, it's just different and it's so hard. And like I've said before, you just kind of inherently feel like a stupid baby.
Mm-hmm.
Because there will be like simple words that you don't know. Like I can learn a shit ton of words and like I know a lot of technically more complicated words that you would like see in the news and stuff. But then there's always just going to be little gaps or like simple words that you realize in the moment that you don't know how to say that. And then you just feel stupid and it's hard.
It is wild, that thing. I know it's like a meme or whatever, but like how like if you're speaking to someone who's speaking their second language and they're not very good, they do just sound like a really stupid person, even though they're just like a normal smart person.
I know, and it's kind
and
of
they just
hard.
Don't know language. It's really fun to be like, you sound stupid right now, but I know you're not.
Yeah.
And it's hard. There's no way to like bridge that gap because language is so important that like kind of our intelligence is tied to that. But like it's all, everyone's equally smart even though they sound dumb, you mm-hmm. know? Like I sound dumb trying to speak Spanish, and Spanish people when they try to speak English sound dumb. And I'm like, neither of us are dumb, but we sound really dumb and we think each other are dumb and we're trying our best not to think that, but it's impossible to like totally get rid of that.
Yeah, it's hard to get rid of that kind of instinctual bias.
Yeah, you sound like a toddler right now.
Yeah.
You're like, but I know you're an adult who's like doing a job and it's really good at it.
Yeah, it sucks.
I think it's funny.
It's speaking Japanese is one of these things that I have to like force myself to do when I'm there because I know I'm only going to get better if I do it. And I,
yeah, and it's
I
a
enjoy
tough
the
language,
challenge,
right?
I like think, of doing things that scare me. But it is just like extremely anxiety inducing because I know what I want to say and I can't, and I, or they just like say a bunch of words that I don't understand and I'm like, I swear I can speak this language and I'm not this dumb, but it's just it's really really hard. Brings me to tears pretty quick if I'm like really having a miscommunication, because it's just like so frustrating and embarrassing.
Do you ever have to do the funny thing where like you like are trying to describe a thing because you don't know the word for the thing, you have to describe it using the words you know?
Yeah,
like I remember like trying to describe an oven to someone in Spanish and I had to say like the very hot room for food, and it's like that's like the best I could do.
Yeah, hot,
it's like it's
box.
That it's a really hot room for the food, you know, or no, the house. The room of fire, I think is what I called it.
What was the
food.
Context for this?
We were working in a restaurant, so I was trying to be like, how do you turn this off? And I was like, yeah, how do you use the very the hot room of, or the hot house with fire or something like that. And eventually he got it and he laughed really hard, which is always funny.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like you gotta build, it's like Legos, you know? You can only use the pieces you have.
Exactly.
And I imagine in Japanese, because of the way the language is structured, it's like kind of even hard to do that, right?
I can do that.
Or no.
Like describe stuff. Yeah. But that's the kind of situation where I'll describe something like that. They'll tell me the actual word. I'll go, okay. Mm. And then it's immediately gone.
And it's gone, right.
Because they understood me. So it's like I've achieved the goal of them understanding me. So it's gone.
I bet you there's enough English in Japan that you like must be tempted to just like rely on English to some extent. Or is there, I guess it depends on where you are. Yeah.
If you're in a big city and you stick to the places that have English names on Google Maps, then the staff will speak enough English that you can get by. But it does, like, obviously, as with going to any country where they speak a different language, it opens a ton more doors for you of stuff you can do if you know the language.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to get back into it because I'm going in September again.
I know, it's not far.
I want to try to talk to more people when I'm there, but I can barely talk to people on the street in America, so I don't know if that'll happen.
You could try speaking Japanese to your neighbors, because that's two birds, one stone as well, right? Because you wanted to try to talk to your neighbors more, and then they'll think you're foreign, and then they'll be more friendly.
That's just like extreme weeb behavior.
It really is. wear one of the band to wear a perfume shirt and walk up with something, you know, whatever.
Okay, well, we're just about done, yeah, so no, maybe I'll cast one more spell here to
do it. I'm so excited to see
off.
Which one.
I don't really know very many. I think I have to learn more, but
I didn't know you could.
I'm just going to go over here. You just stay right where you are.
All right, I'm going to stay right here.
Magic missile.
Oh, God. Ah! I didn't even get... Just hit the beach.
Wait, are they not homing? Wait.
Well, maybe only for enemies.
Magic missile. Oh, because you're not my enemy.
They just kind of went over
there,
yeah.
You're on my team.
You might be able to hit me with them.
Magic missile.
Over my head. A little bit lower. Point right at my chest.
Okay. I gotta wait for it to recharge. Magic missile.
Okay, that did hurt me.
Wait, but my other...
Wasn't very exciting, though.
Fireball.